Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. So imagine this. You have a kid who has who's hyperactive, who doesn't pay attention, who, you know, you give him three things to do and he might get one of them done. You know, he's fidgeting all the time, he's tapping his pencil, he won't sit at the table to finish a meal. He has a difficult time getting to sleep at night, he's getting in trouble at school. This kid has ADHD. What do we do about it?
Does he have ADHD?
If he has ADHD.
Oh, so we've confirmed the diagnosis.
Let's say that we have
confirmed the diagnosis. Okay, so we did our work. We confirmed the diagnosis that this child has ADHD. Then what type of ADHD is it? So we've determined that.
That's what we got to do. We have to determine the type. We have to do our diagnosis. We have to differentiate between the subtypes. And then we got to figure out what our treatment is going to be. That's going to be...
I had a little thought ran through my head, and it was like, if we just put the child on medication, there's this feeling that if we just get the right medication, this kid's going to just do much better.
Right.
Okay. We have to have medication. Okay.
Right.
And that will take care of the problem.
Right.
There are many people who believe that.
Right.
But it's going to be a lot more complicated than that.
It is more complicated than that.
I knew it would be.
So today we're going to talk about treatment. And treatment is, for some, let's say it this way, for some people, treatment is pretty straightforward. Put them on medication. I worked with a psychiatrist in the Department of Psychiatry at USF, at the University of South Florida, who, good grief, every patient that came in the door had ADHD. Every patient that came in the door with ADHD was given Concerta.
It was something to watch him work.
It was fascinating. And if the person didn't respond well to it, it was because the dose wasn't high enough.
Right.
And so he would just keep...
increase the dose.
And, you know, this was a very old school psychiatrist. He's not practicing any longer. But it was fascinating to watch because it was such a... sometimes you say, if all you have is a hammer, everything you treat as a nail. Mm-hmm. And he very much so only had a hammer.
Concerta.
And I don't even know why it was Concerta.
Because that was the newest.
At that time,
it was the newest entry mm-hmm. into the medication mm-hmm. toolkit.
Yeah. And he
which
he
I thought was odd because I would have thought he would have used Sylert or something.
He had the same little quote, little phrase that mm-hmm. he would say to every patient. As far as how to handle the titration of the medication and everything. Mm-hmm. But it was fascinating to watch. And what was even more scary is if a parent asked about a different medication or asked about non-medication treatment, he didn't respond very well to that.
No.
Because he was very focused and that was the treatment. That was the treatment for
And it was
ADHD.
Probably because it worked in many... First of all, he had a very select population coming into there. By the time they got to him, they were coming to a tertiary, almost a tertiary care center, but they were coming to a specialist for
That's
ADHD.
All he saw, yeah.
So it was already a selected population. So most of them were probably going to respond. So he probably had a pretty good success rate and thought, this is what I'm going to do because it succeeds in some percent, 80% or 90% of cases, which is pretty good results.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll start out talking about medication because medication is probably the most common treatment. Especially the stimulant medication. So there's two classes of medications that are prescribed for ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
There's the stimulant medications and the non-stimulant medications. We're gonna start with the stimulants because those are the most traditional. Mm-hmm. And as you said, when it comes to real, and again, we're basing all of this on real ADHD, not ADHD-like symptoms that are caused by something else or anything like that. But when you're talking about real ADHD, a high percentage of kids do respond positively to stimulant medications.
Right.
80 to 90% will respond positively to a stimulant medication. Those stimulants are then divided into two groups.
Right.
You have the amphetamine based, which is like Adderall and Intune, not Intune, I'm sorry.
Vyvanse. Right.
But then you have the methylphenidate based, which is like Ritalin and Concerta and some of the others.
Focalin,
Daytrona and Quillivant and some of those. There are dozens of stimulant medications out there within each group, and you know they all do something different. You have short-acting ones, you have long-acting ones. The long-acting ones are there, of course, so that a kid could take it in the morning. It'll last throughout the school day and into the evening so that it can help with homework.
Maybe.
Hopefully. And then hopefully be out of their system in time for them to go to bed.
Right.
The short-acting are for, you know, they only last about maybe 4 hours apiece.
Right. Mm-hmm. Take you to lunchtime.
Typically speaking, you know, there are differences in the way that people will respond to amphetamine-based versus methylphenidate-based. Sometimes we differentiate those based upon symptom presentation.
Right.
Those who are hyperactive, impulsive, maybe more likely to take the Ritalin-based, while those who are more inattentive will take more of the amphetamine-based. But typically speaking, you know, or oftentimes, either may be effective.
And you don't, and you have to just try them.
Right.
I mean, you might think that, well, this would be a perfect Concerta, and it's not. Doesn't
right.
work. So you move to Adderall or Vyvanse, and that works. Okay.
Right.
So there is a little bit of trial and error here
right.
that you have to be willing to tolerate.
Yeah, it is counterintuitive to many people why stimulants are used for ADHD. We're talking about people who are hyperactive and impulsive, and then we're talking about giving them a stimulant. That is confusing for a lot of people.
Right.
The theory behind it, I'm going to still call it, we still have to call it a theory because we really don't even know why. But the theory, and this is another one of those situations where back in the 50s, 40s and 50s, the benefits of a stimulant were found accidentally when they were treating, I think, a bronchial problem. And it was a bronchial stimulator that they were giving someone, and it helped relieve a kid, and they helped relieve the symptoms. But the reason that it's theorized that it seems to be so effective is that there are certain regions of the brain that function off of dopamine and norepinephrine. And when you're looking at those regions of the brain, they're understimulated.
Right.
Because they're understimulated, they're not filtering information.
Right.
And so when, as we sit here, you know, I don't think we've ever made it a secret that I've been diagnosed with ADHD and have had experiences with it over the course of my life. Some interesting, I think, experiences. But if unmedicated, and I'm sitting here, it is very difficult for me to do work and not be distracted by when the air conditioner comes on, or chirping out the window, or you know, any sound or movement completely draws my attention. And because it draws my attention, it takes me off task. It makes it very difficult for me to get work done. But with a medication, the regions of my brain that filter unimportant information is stimulated. And so then I can ignore that, and I don't have to pay as much attention to it, and I can stay zoomed and focused in what I need to focus with.
Right. Yesterday we were talking about the causes.
Right.
And, or 2 days ago, I guess, we were talking about causes. And we talked about different brain structures, 5 of 7 brain structures.
Right.
Because it turns out all of those structures function one way or another to control how information moves through your brain, and what you attend to and what you don't attend to, and being able to inhibit things, which is what you're talking about.
Right.
Okay, so those 5 structures are all involved in those processes. So if you use medication and you increase how well those things work, then you get rid of some of the symptoms, or you decrease some of the symptoms, So the medication is acting on the same structures that we know are not working well in children and adults with ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's what the medication does.
Right.
Right. And what we always say is medication, however, doesn't cure the problem.
Right.
It simply makes the child available for the other things that you have to do.
Right.
I don't know of any child who was given medication and nothing else.
Right.
And had a good outcome.
Right.
I think that the medication is part of mm-hmm. an intervention package.
Right. Right. Yeah, we're going to talk about the other part in just a moment. Mm-hmm. So that's the stimulants. Yeah. Now, when we move over to the non-stimulants, mm-hmm. we have one of the first ones, or the first one, was Strattera, or atomoxetine. Mm-hmm. And now we have Intuniv, which is basically guanfacine or 10x. Clonidine has been used for a long time. So there are a number of non-stimulants. The success rate or the benefit rate mm-hmm. of non-stimulants is not nearly as high.
Right.
Maybe 30 to 50% maybe of those on non-stimulants find benefit.
Yeah, we were very excited about Strattera when it first mm-hmm. came out, but we found that it's pretty difficult to use,
right,
and not nearly as effective.
It focuses primarily on norepinephrine, right, and it unlike the stimulants, which, you know, the stimulants, what's nice about the stimulants is they're in and out of your system pretty quickly. Right. You start seeing a positive effect of the stimulants within about 30 minutes or so, mm-hmm. and you can tell when it's out of your system. Right. Mm-hmm. The non-stimulants, you have to take routinely, you have to take them every day to build it up in your system,
right.
So you may not see any benefit. If you're going to see any benefit, you may not see any for, 3 to 6 weeks.
Or
more
months.
Sometimes.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
sometimes it's measured in months,
right,
and it takes a lot of patience.
Right.
If you can get that, eventually get there. But yeah, it's been a much more difficult task than the stimulants.
They are helpful in situations where the kid has or the person has comorbid anxiety or depression,
right,
or something like that.
Bipolar disorder.
But otherwise it's they're not as beneficial for kids who have, straight run-of-the-mill ADHD. Right. Is that fair?
It is. Yeah, I was disappointed, quite frankly, because we were very excited that we would have a treatment, a non-stimulant treatment, mm-hmm. and that we could target norepinephrine.
Right.
And that held great promise.
Right.
But it hasn't worked out as well as we had hoped.
Mm-hmm. So the last thing we're going to say about medication is that sometimes you will find physicians who engage in what we'll just call polypharmacy. Mm-hmm. And so they'll put a person on a stimulant medication and, if that person, we mentioned earlier this week that a lot of times people with ADHD have difficulty sleeping.
Right.
What you'll find is that sometimes in the evening they'll put them on a medication to help with sleep. There are different ones that are used. Probably the most common combination is a stimulant medication in the morning and either either a guanfacine based or a clonidine based alpha agonist for in the evening. Those are blood pressure medications,
right,
that are actually been used in ADHD for decades. I mean, they've been used for a long, mm-hmm. long, long time. But they help sort of slow things down and help the person get to sleep.
Help you with sleep.
In tuna, for example, is guanfacine, and while it's considered it can be used as a primary medication for ADHD, it was really developed to use in conjunction with Adderall.
Right.
I mean, it was really developed for that. So you would take Adderall in the morning and Intuniv in the evening, mm-hmm. and it helps sort of provide 24-hour treatments for helping with sleep and school.
Guanfacine.
From like
guano.
Uh-huh.
There's a relationship between those two.
Uh-huh. What's guano?
Bat guano.
Bat poo.
Guanfacine.
Uh-huh.
So where does that come from?
But both clonidine and guanfacine are blood pressure medications. They were used for years and years and years for
10x.
Blood
pressure. We knew it as 10x. I mean, normally we would see 10x.
10x and Catapress.
Yeah.
Were the trade names.
Those were the things that we typically saw. Now they've refined them and we have Intuniv and Capvay is the other one. Cap with a K are the new brand names
right.
for these older medications.
Yeah. So the as you said, the medications are beneficial. They don't cure. Right. They just temporarily treat.
Right.
And in as you said also, they work to make the person available to do all the other work that they need to do.
To do everything else.
And the other work happens at home, at school, right. in the different settings.
Right.
So as we get into more of the psychotherapeutic side of mm-hmm. treatment, we're talking about some behavioral things, we're talking about some cognitive things, we're talking about specific cognitive skills. We mentioned earlier this week that ADHD people with ADHD have some difficulty with behaviors that are usually associated with the executive functions, the frontal lobe stuff, organization, planning, focus, inhibition, and those kinds of things. While medication helps the person attend, it provides a little bit of time so that you can make a better decision, so maybe you're not quite so impulsive. The medication is not going to make somebody organized. It's not going to make you be able to plan out and to maintain a schedule and to maintain a routine. It's not going to do those things. And so that is much of the work that has to be done once the person is available to be able to learn those things.
Right, that's the executive function part.
Right.
Okay, that's one. The problem with ADHD is that it has multiple effects.
Right.
You mentioned the executive functions, which are inhibition, attention, short-term memory.
Organization.
The ability to organize, plan your day.
Self-monitor.
Plan what you need. Keep track of your belongings for school-age kids. All those things come under the broad heading of executive functions. And if you have ADHD, those things get compromised,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because they also exist in the same parts of the brain that ADHD affects,
right?
And so the medication will help, but you still have to, the child still has to learn how to do those things.
Right.
If you don't have ADHD, you still have to learn how to be organized.
Right.
If you do have ADHD, you still have to learn how to be organized. And so there's a teaching process that has to occur whether or not you have the disorder.
Right.
So just because you give medication, what the medication does is, okay, now you can learn how to do all these things. But somebody has to be teaching you how to do those things.
Right.
And if you don't do them, you're going to experience some consequences.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't be relieved of the consequences.
Right.
It's not that, oh, I can't because I have ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's more difficult because you have ADHD.
Right.
There's no can't here. It's just you have a bigger challenge.
Right.
You still have to learn the same thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so we primarily work on those things through parenting strategies.
That's right.
You know, direct instruction, direct teaching to the person about how to be organized, how
mm-hmm.
to plan, how to structure their life and their world, so we can teach some of those skills directly. We work a lot with parents on developing a structure and system for the environment. But as we said earlier this week, many times kids with ADHD have parents with ADHD, and so that's really difficult for them.
That creates another problem. But the other thing about, you know, most parents are able to teach children these things
mm-hmm.
sort of in the course of child development, okay?
Right.
And you use reward and punishment
right.
systems and, you know, okay, you didn't do it, so now we're going to take this away. And for 80% of kids, that works fairly well,
mm-hmm.
okay? These kids with ADHD don't respond as well to those
right.
things. And so many parents need additional training
mm-hmm.
to learn how to deal with a child, how to do these same things,
mm-hmm.
but with a child with ADHD.
Right.
You might have to do something 6 or 7 times
mm-hmm.
with a child with ADHD, where you do it 2 or 3 times.
Right.
With you know, most normally developing children without ADHD get it after a couple of
right.
tries.
Right.
Kids with ADHD have to go back and do it over and over
right.
and over and over again. And parents can easily get frustrated with
mm-hmm.
that if they're not accustomed to dealing with a child with ADHD.
Right.
I always said my son's best teacher had 4 boys with ADHD
right.
because she got it. She understood
right.
exactly what he was like,
mm-hmm.
and his best year in school was the year that he had her because she had raised 4 boys and
right.
knew exactly what he needed right. in order to succeed, and
right.
he did.
Right, you know? Absolutely. So we do a lot of parent training. We do a lot of behavior management type stuff, building in, again, behavioral management right. systems in the home and in the classroom. Well, same thing with the classroom.
And the other big thing is school, because right. frequently children with ADHD, they don't not only have behavior problems, they have academic problems.
Right.
So what accommodations do we make for the academic problems?
Right.
What accommodations do we make? And again, these are kids who don't respond well to typical school-based reward and punishment right. systems. So we have to come up with other things that work better.
Right. And it can't be, this is a little bit pushing the envelope a little bit, but it can't, we got to be careful of those sort of cookie cutter type things that we, right. we often do. We'll say, oh, he has ADHD, so he needs additional time on the test.
Yeah, maybe.
Many people with ADHD are the first ones done.
Right.
They don't need extra time.
No. Mm-hmm.
They need a reminder to go back and check their work. They need right. a reminder to slow down.
To be careful.
And to you know, check their sort of self-monitoring types of things. They don't need extra time.
Right.
But we do these little cookie cutter type things. Oh, he has ADHD, let's give him extra time on the test because he can't pay attention and so he gets distracted, so he needs additional time. Right. That's great. That works for some people, but many with ADHD don't need that at all. That right. that additional time is going to, you know, they're not even going to use it.
Right. No, we said the other day that kids with the hyperactive type of ADHD tend to make careless errors.
Right.
They don't have them go back and check it once.
Right.
And it's very, but that's difficult for them to do because they don't have the patience for it.
Right.
So they need a little bit of supervision.
Right.
It comes in the form of good teaching.
Right.
Or good parenting. Doesn't matter.
Absolutely. So we have to make strategies or develop strategies for the child at home, at school, for that child.
For that child.
Not these, right. Again, sort of run-of-the-mill cookie-cutter right. types
not
of things.
Not a kid with ADHD. This child.
This child okay. with ADHD.
And then the other thing, of course, is scheduling.
Right.
One of the things we preach and preach and preach is these kids don't organize themselves.
Right.
And so parents need to do the organizing, mm-hmm. which means the benefit for these kids is to be on a regular, I almost said strict, I meant regular schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go to bed at the same time,
right.
eat your meals at the same time, get up at the same time.
Including the weekend.
Including weekends and summer.
Right.
You know, these kids unravel during the summer
right.
because they're allowed to stay up as long as they want and they sleep in as long as they want.
Yeah.
And then it takes weeks to get them back into harness when
right.
it's time to return to school. These kids need structure.
Mm-hmm.
They need to do the same thing in the same way every day. A few weeks ago we mentioned, when I walk out of my house, I have to have four things with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, glasses and, you know.
Right.
That's what these kids have to learn how to do, but parents have to teach that. Parents have to
yeah.
insist that they have that structure.
Absolutely.
No, you don't throw your clothes all over the house.
Mm-hmm.
Parents have to be available so when the child comes in, throws his book bag here and his shoes there and his coat there, no, let's do this over again. Where
over
does your coat
over
go?
And over and over and over again.
So Mr. Rogers taught us. You know, he went to the closet every day,
right.
hung up his coat, took off his put on his cardigan, and he did that. There was a reason for that, is
right.
you do the same thing every day, and that's what helps these kids stay organized.
Absolutely.
Without that, they're going to be unraveling all the time.
Right.
And so to keep them together, you have to impose that structure, that schedule.
Right. The final piece of treatment here is something that we've alluded to earlier this week, and these are things that just exacerbate ADHD symptoms, and that is our...
Trinity, right.
you know,
absolutely.
Sometimes our Trinity plus one.
It's really important with this
nutrition, diet, nutrition, exercise, and sleep.
And sleep.
You know,
right.
we have to make sure that we're getting enough. And I like still throwing in stress management with this, because even with kids with ADHD, even if they don't look stressed, because kids with ADHD don't typically look stressed because they just want to have fun.
Right.
They're just trying to enjoy things, but we need to teach them relaxation things just to teach them how to slow down.
Right. You know, I've just begun to say to parents, look, whatever else you're going to do, let me tell you that we're going to talk about nutrition, exercise, and sleep.
Yeah.
You have to include those three things. It's not easy.
Right.
It takes a lot out of everybody.
Right.
Okay. But we have to talk about nutrition, exercise, and sleep. as far as nutrition is concerned, we have two issues there. One is we have to make sure that kids are eating good food. Mm-hmm. These kids tend to eat the way they do everything else in a very haphazard, unstructured right. way. So they grab a little of this and a little of that, and that's eating to them. No, right. you have to make sure that they're getting proper nutrition. Mm-hmm. And what's the other big problem? If they're on a stimulant, they're not going to want to eat.
Right.
They have appetite suppression. So right. so you have to monitor all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So nutrition is really, really important for these kids. If they're not getting... There was a wonderful book written years ago. It was that took up this issue of sugar and mm-hmm. food additives and everything. And the author of the book said, it's not that, it's that over time you create metabolic changes
right.
that can create problems.
Right.
And it was that over time issue that mm-hmm. we finally began to understand. So nutrition is exceedingly important to
right.
these kids.
Right.
As is sleep.
Sleep and exercise. You have to, you know, I always find it interesting when parents of kids with ADHD come in and say, you know, if I could just get him out of the house, because when he's right. when he comes home tired mm-hmm. from exercising and playing outside, when he comes home tired, he's so much easier to, right. you know, he's right. he remembers things, he knows what he needs to do. It's stimulating.
You know, I think of the kid who's out playing all day, mm-hmm. as we always say when we were kids, you mm-hmm. know, we were out playing all the time. So we got tired. And it was easier to sleep. It's easier mm-hmm. to sleep when you're tired. Versus a kid who's playing video games for 4 or 5 hours because mm-hmm. he goes to bed. Because two things happen. Number one, they don't get tired, right. physically tired.
Right.
And number two, their brain is stimulated by the video game.
Right.
Okay. And so you're doing exactly what you shouldn't do to have good sleep hygiene.
Right.
Okay. And so exercise, not just walking around the block once or twice, but real hard physical exercise so that you get tired.
Right. Absolutely.
I mean, we would play for hours and then say, mm-hmm. I'm ready to go to sleep.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're sitting there playing video games or watching TV, you don't get tired.
Right. It's not in the same way.
No.
So we have these components of treatment, from medication, parent training, behavior management stuff, schedules.
School
and the trifecta,
right?
Yeah.
The hat trick. Isn't
yeah.
a hat trick three?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's the hat trick. Right.
So we have to include all of those pieces, even if they're on medication and medication is managing all their symptoms well.
Right.
You still have to do all those other things, yeah. or else they'll become a teenager and decide they don't want to take the medication anymore, and they're going to have all those problems still.
Yeah, many parents are reluctant or resistant to medication.
Yeah.
And to them I say, okay, that's fine. Let's do the other four,
right.
okay? And maybe if you do the other four well, maybe you can avoid medication.
Right.
But if
it'll
you
take
do,
a little bit longer.
Right, and it's gonna be hard. I mean, it's gonna take time.
Right.
It's gonna take effort. You're gonna have to devote most of every day to this.
Right.
But it's okay. Let's do it. If you can do it and not use medication, that's fine. But if you do these four things and you think, I just yeah. need a little bit extra,
yeah.
then you can use the medication.
Absolutely.
So, either way.
Yep. All right. That's it.
Is it?
That's it for today, then.
That's all we get to talk about?
Yeah.
With ADHD.
That's it.
Okay.
So.
The most researched topic in child psychiatry.
I think so.
Yeah,
it's
it
been
is.
Around for a long time.
Right.
So, all right. Until next time, then. Stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.